Welcome to the Daily VFit Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to the Extra Hour. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch the hour. Oh, my goodness. Talking about the government shutdown and what's taken, what our vets did, your fellow American citizens did in the context of responding to the vets that were kept out of their memorials. I mean, their days are like numbered. And it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, why would that happen? And then, it's great. You can actually see that. Actually, see the video as well on VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But also, I got a chance to share about Children of the Day, what a vision the Lord gave me even this morning about exactly what it appears what's going on, give an explanation of it, and that God's called us to be children of the day, the light. And that's why we're here on BFN Radio that, you know, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, because Jesus commands us to be the light of the world.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, hey, if you don't mind every now and then turning on a little light.
Right.
That's like, you know, that song years ago was like, let your little light shine.
Yeah.
When I first gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I'm going straight from, you know, Marvin Gaye and, you know,
Metallica.
No. I can't see him with the Metallica.
That was more like Luther Vandross, you know, that type of person. And I thought that was kind of stuff I listened to. And to the first of all, I go to the college campus because God called me to go. I was in law enforcement, but I thought, you know, God put a call on my life. And it's the beginning parts of a call. You got process after a call. And so I go and apply for a Bible college, you know, the Bible college of the day, and that the world was talking about and God was using and moving.
Sure.
And I thought, well, you know, that's what I'll do. So I went and talked to the sheriff, and I said, I'm turning in my resignation. You know, I'm gonna go. You know, he was very, very kind. It was Sheriff Jim Lohman at the time, and in Escambia County, Florida, actually. And told him and my spiritual father, Brother John Kilpatrick, had even filled out an app. You had to do like a
letter of recommendation.
Yeah, letter of recommendation, all that. I'm not going to say the name of the college. So anyway, I am, you know, brand new. You know, my desire through VFN TV and VFN Radio is to help you relax. And not to put anybody on any pedestals, but realize that Jesus loves you and wants to connect and relate to you. He's awesome, and he is holy. He's kind, and he is stern. Mm. But just relax and get into the family and function. Of course, you know, being new, you think that everybody is just perfect, and you don't know anything. And
right.
You need to go and minister. I need to go to school. And so I put in an application to go to this particular college in a different state. And so I get a phone call from the college, and I'm thinking, like, here it is, you know. And did they
accept you?
Accept me? Uh-huh. You know, I'm like, this is it. Because I was already saved.
Right.
You know, but then, so I want to learn more about Jesus because I got a call on my life.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned me down. They said, you haven't been saved long enough to learn about God.
Wow.
Thank God they turned me down. I would have an empty spot on my wall because I couldn't hang that thing on my wall.
No doubt.
Is the school around today?
No, it's not. It didn't make it. But I was trying to. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do with that? And so, I don't know how I got on that particular journey.
I think you were talking about Children of the Day.
Was I? And so I was learning how to wanted to learn more about the things of God, and being called into ministry and. And so I went through a whole journey of that aspect of it, and I don't know, you know, how I got on that. I'm sorry, I can't continue that train of thought. But
come back.
Yeah, I don't even know where I am right now. But that was my journey. So when God's calling you, understand He's calling you out of darkness into the light, and you need to immediately begin to learn the light. He says, "Those who follow my teachings are really my disciple." In other words, those who actually follow the light. Learn the light and follow the light are truly children of the light.
Mm-hmm.
And if, in fact, that you are in the light and you can walk out of the light into darkness, which means, hey, once in the light, not always in the light, Yeah, don't buy into that. Just buy into that. Somebody says, well, what's the ultimate answer? The ultimate answer is humility. Because pride is a person that says, this is how it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in relationship, it's not like this. This is how it is in relationship. Humble yourself and be grateful that God's brought you into relationship with him.
Amen.
And don't sit here and put some, blockades up for others and vice versa and for yourself, and just realize that we are saved because of the grace and the mercies of God, and that it keeps you, if you can ever have a pet answer how things happen, you've already moved into pride.
Yeah.
The fact is that it just brings, everything brings you to a place of humility, which is total dependency on God and respect for other people. And so walking as children of the light. Man, I know it was really good what I was going to say, but it's gone.
You were talking about this little light of mine. It's on.
Oh, yeah, that was what it was. That's what it was. That's what it was. Wow. Thank you.
He is away.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. I appreciate that. Well, so I got turned down by the Bible College and the School of Ministry. And so then I go to the public university.
Mm.
And I find out there's a ministry on campus. I'm not going to say what it was, but it's a Christian ministry on campus. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great. Oh, this is just wonderful. Oh, this is just, I'm just pumped because, like, hey, I'm going to find folks that follow Jesus too.
Right.
And I did. But I go in there, and we sat in there, and I'm going all the way from, Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, this...
Genre
of music, I guess.
Yes.
And I get in there, and, we got about eight folks, and they're sitting in chairs facing one direction with somebody there, and they're just singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine."
Wow.
"This little light of mine." I'm like, paradigm shift. Does Luther have a brother that got saved here somewhere where I can actually hear something? It's like, and they're clapping.
Ooh.
They're clapping. They're like, and nobody looked like they had a light that was shining. And they just looked kind of robotic.
Yeah.
And they knew the words to it. They probably sang it in nursery school or something. And you're in college.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness. I just had this big, huge paradigm shift. I got turned down for going to Bible college. I walk up here and they're talking about this light of mine. But then Jesus says that we're called to be the light of the world, not just let your little light shine.
I don't know where that little light thing came from. More like this roaring inferno inside of me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like,
I can't contain it anymore, this roaring inferno.
Yeah, this fire in my bones. Shut up. That I, this little light of mine. Come on.
Yeah. I want to know who wrote that.
Well, you think about that, a little light.
A little light. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you think about that, in regards to, okay, a blanket of darkness covers the earth. Mm-hmm. Thick darkness covers the folks. Okay, then the light of God is within us, but the only way they can see light if we let our light shine. Why would you want to be a little light?
Mm.
Now, imagine if all of us begin to turn on our halogens in Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? Turn on our bright existence, the word, and I forgot. Most people don't even are in the light of God's word. They don't have anything to turn on. They turn on things like there's other ways to God other than Jesus, and where did that come from? But the thing, if you get in the Word of God and begin to abide with God, and if you don't know how to abide with the light, go to iabide.org and begin to understand He wants it. He didn't save you for a get-out-of-hell-free card. You were already bound there in the context of it when we were born into sin. We were born because of the fall of man. He saved you from it so that you can walk in relationship with Him, and so that you and God can abide together, and He will empower you to do things you thought never possible. Mm-hmm. So you both can enjoy, you and God can enjoy what He's doing in the earth as He's through you, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. If you got a little flicker of a light, I thank God for not even a smoldering wick, that Jesus put out. But in the context of it, crank it up a notch, you know what I'm saying?
Fan into flame.
It into flames. Mm-hmm. God's got, what do you see over the hill? Do you see darkness? Do you see terror? Do you see a vast army, or do you see a heavenly host?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And if all you see what you see.
Yeah, it's a heavenly host. When you talk about in the context of it, that we got to begin to see what God says that's going on. And we see that with a light. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if we have the dream. We have Jonathan's dream up and over here, but you got to hear this, because we taught on and teaching on as we speak, and it's gonna be available to you soon at VineFellowshipNetwork.org, but in regards to, you know, rise, shine, your light has come.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm teaching, well, I taught very specifically at that time about there's a vast army coming against Israel. What do you do? And now it's coming against the world. What do you do?
Yeah.
And the Valley of Decision with Jehoshaphat. And how to turn to God and how to realize if we'll just turn to God, listen to God, receive his battle plan in the context of that, what happens is that God defeats our enemy. He says the battle is not ours, but it's his. But understand, that doesn't happen unless he becomes our God.
Mm.
And anyway, so that was actually, that was taught, you know, through the Word of God, precept upon precept, about this vast army and facing impossible odds with God brings possible victories with men. And that's going to be made available to you soon. But God confirmed it at the very end with an 11-year-old young man named Jonathan. And this is the light. This is who we're supposed to bring. Listen to this very short one-minute dream that Jonathan is bringing up. Listen up.
Well, last night when I was sleeping, I dreamed that I was kind of like I was in the woods, but there's this big open space, like kind of like a battlefield. And there are these giants, this big army of giants that came from one side. And then there were the these other people that were human. I just kind of knew that they were like Christians. And they were in armor and they had swords and shields, and so did the giants. And they came together and started fighting, and the giants were winning, but there were only like a few Christians left. And then angels started appearing out of nowhere with swords with fire coming from them, and they like destroyed the giants. And then I woke up.
It's so important because there's a heavenly host. They're angels of God are waiting to fulfill the word of God, but mm-hmm. If in fact we're not don't even know the word, the light of God, if we're not even in the word of God, they're not going to fulfill our word. They're going to fulfill God's word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if the enemy pulls out the word of God from your life and you buy into, I can't abide with God and I don't have time to read the word and hide his word in my heart,
mm-hmm.
that pulls the empowerment and the knowledge of what God's angels that are there to be able to move on God's behalf, on behalf of his folks and his people. And in the we need to realize that that there's a heavenly host. And when I was teaching on this, what God revealed to me about a vast army coming against Israel, God was allowing that. Like we were talking about in the first hour, being pressed between a rock and a hard place, and so that we would look to God. That's mm-hmm. the reason why he actually allowed that. And with that, that's where America is today. That's where the church is today. But if we don't know about the word of God, then we're not going to speak the word of God. We're not going to believe the word of God. If you're not believing the word of God, you're not confessing the word of God. If you're not believing and confessing in faith the word of God, the angels are just sitting kind of just waiting for us to say, you know, whose report are you going to believe? Somebody says, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. What's this report again? What's this report? And it's like they're waiting to be activated. They're waiting to be activated. They're not going to be activated when you don't send angels. And as a matter of fact, there was some stuff going on where people began to worship angels. And they don't understand. No, they're God's servants, and they're servants of those who are the heir of salvation in regards to God's word. They fulfill God's word over us. And they protect that who is God, because obviously if we didn't have protection, that darkness could just come in and encroach us outside mm-hmm. of, you know, God protecting us. Which goes to show you that one angel is called goodness and one's called mercy, and it follows you all the days of your life. Don't ever put down goodness and mercy, right? But understand that they're waiting for us to grasp. And the church is, we've lost our perspective of who God is and his strong right arm, and that one angel could take down thousands and thousands. You know, the angel Michael guarding Israel
mm-hmm.
and Gabriel. I mean, think about this. This is just amazing, the things that can happen in the context of this. But we have to first turn our hearts to God, get his word back into our heart again, and begin to go, oh, I see the heavenly host, God. Just like God was speaking through his word, and Jehoshaphat, like he confirmed through Jonathan when he had that prophetic dream right there, and also like he spoke on September the 28th through Brother John Kilpatrick out of Church of His Presence, which you can go to johnkilpatrick.org and go to downloads and download that word, or you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and read the word. As this is what God is saying, listen, your help is in the heavens.
Yeah.
Your enemy is in this immediate third heaven, but God is above God, second heaven. God is, your enemy's in the second heaven, which is around you, but your God's in the first heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's waiting for us to say, go for it, God. We love you.
I think about Elijah when he was with his servant. Mm-hmm. He's coming against all these vast armies. Mm-hmm. And he allows him to see in the spirit. He says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
That's exactly the word that was on my heart I'm saying that. Yeah. But what do you see?
What do you see?
But if you don't have any light in your eyes, if you don't have any word in your eyes, you can't see that.
Yeah.
I can tell you that, but then you're actually having faith in what I'm telling you instead of what God has spoken into your heart. And it's what God has said to you that gives power. It's a revelation that God said to you. You can stand up boldly and proclaim, I see the heavenly host coming in. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wonder if there's anybody real. You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you. Because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed that, I got a chance to be able to share about a vision that was just given about the children of the day, children of the night, in regards to the light. What is the light? And, that when you think about it, that God's word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And we talked about that already, but understanding that's just so very, very important, that you're just lost in darkness if you don't have the light.
Yeah.
And he says that you stumble around in many ways. And if you haven't yet gone to the VFN Torch, I'm just going to just cover a couple things real quick, like, so you can know, I'm at over 2,000 plus, beams of light that are there waiting for you. But in regards to what we've been covering as Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, because we just discovered as we were walking out and growing in wisdom that the Lord revealed that this is what's being used, that the world appears to be being organized and America is being organized. And that really meant nothing at first until we began to walk. What does that mean? And what are we being organized for? And then we find out that the reason why Rules for Radicals is important to understand is because our current president taught it for 4 years.
Yeah.
And so he's an organizer. That's kind of, to learn those kind of tips. But then we found out that the book Rules for Radicals is dedicated, Saul Alinsky dedicated to Lucifer. Mm-hmm. But in the back of the book, it's dedicated to Barack Obama at that time, but President Barack Obama and to Hillary Clinton, who did a thesis on it. And understand, there are, so we took these 13, we're taking these 13 rules for radicals, which are tips for Lucifer, how to, you know, we found out about him. It's got to, you know, it's dark tips for figuring out how to, you know, cause things to happen. And, but we did find out in the context of this, this is something very important that I want to be able to say, is as we're on this journey, we didn't walk into this and say, and we still don't. We're just letting you know what God has revealed to us, that when you talk about fundamental transformation, and you heard that even during the campaign, that that might not even been, you know, his original word, because you can see it on the VFN Torch, or watching a meeting with three or four progressive people who one of them is Cass Sunstein, mm-hmm. who said they were looking for, and this is prior to our president being president, mm-hmm. they were looking for somebody who would be a transformational president who was progressive.
Right.
And they were comparing. They compared Hillary Clinton. They compared Barack Obama. And they compared
Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards. And they said that Jonathan Edwards was the most progressive.
Right.
That that Hillary Clinton was a moderate, kind of. And based on some of the studies that we found out, that is because she wouldn't work for Alinsky, but she actually did a paper for Alinsky, you know, that's sealed today as her thesis. But then that Barack Obama was the least president. I'm saying Barack Obama because at that time he was Senator Barack Obama, but he was the most senator. He was the most middle of the road, which would be totally against their. They would need to pick somebody else. So then we heard his pastor for 20 years, approximately 20 years, pastor, former pastor. Who married him and his wife and all, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, say that you don't understand that he was selected before he was elected. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to, everybody has to realize this, you know, he has some stuff he has to do because right. he wouldn't have got here because he they pay, it costs a lot of money to run for president. And that, I think that's what he was saying in the content.
$1 billion.
Yeah, and so he was kind of explaining at that time. And so we heard that from the Sean Hannity. It was played on that on Fox News. But in the but then when we saw the panel, we're realizing that, and this is so important as things are unfolding, because this is the word that was spoken by a prophetic man that, and you know, Pat, me, and you, and Ian Scully, and mm-hmm. Maybe
a couple other folks.
Yeah, folks was there at the boardroom, and Bailey.
Steve Bailey,
moving prophetically, spoke about that the particular president that would be in office now, that was the word that was given back then, would regret where things ended up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that kind of makes sense because, you know, that wasn't his agenda, but he got chosen for that agenda. Sort of like Woodrow Wilson, that the progressives came and got Woodrow Wilson because he was a good orator and he was a good speaker, and they first met with him, can you buy into this particular progressive concept of, and it's been over 100 years now since then, pretty much so. And what came out of that was World War One,
United Nations.
Yeah, the United Nations. But in the context of that was that they asked this question on that panel at the John F. Kennedy Library when they're discussing who they're going to select. I mean, I was like, oh, I see. It's not this myth that we have where people just like, you know, there's you know, this good guy that just goes out, and you think about the old movie, All the King's Men,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it happens really like that. And so this is the question that they asked themselves. They didn't know that if they thought a lot of great things about Senator Barack Obama at that time, but they said, we don't know if he has the character to be able to transform, to be a transformational president.
Yeah.
That he can stand through this. And think about it. And it's like, oh, so when he was selected by a lot of folks. And when we said, you know, Alinsky's children, and we named a couple of them, we put a blank there. The reason why, because all these folks who are looking for progressive, and this is the context of definition of progressive, is that the Constitution is outdated.
Yeah.
The Constitution is outdated, and that, you know, there's many gods. There's not just one God. Mm-hmm. There's not one nation under God. Our founding fathers are old hat. And these things need to be changed. And that's not a progressive area. We don't... Our Constitution is what we're made of.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, that when you hear what Steve Bailey was told by the Lord, that he said that he was revealed to him by the Lord, and he was speaking to us in that particular boardroom, I can see where the regret would come in. It makes me think about, which is really cool, because I really like him. You know what I'm saying? He's like, dag.
Yeah.
Dag.
What a shame.
What
yeah.
a shame.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, no, this is yeah. like, no. And it really blows a lot of paradigms for me, because I would have thought totally differently. Anyway, I think about what God said to you about that as well. You remember?
Yeah. yeah.
And we'll talk about that and we could get back. Because before, at the same time when they're discussing this, probably John F. Kennedy, God spoke to you specifically sure. about their selection and what was really going on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, we could read the Word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy and their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, what the Holy Spirit is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them, and nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, and those are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
Steve, I got great news.
Tell me.
Did you know that there's an app on how to build a fire?
Really?
There's an app. Yes, there's an app how to build a fire. Okay. It doesn't involve lemon twigs.
I need that one. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, you do. You definitely need that one.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's free. Don't cost you nothing to hook you up. But guess what else there's an app for?
Drying the wood.
Nope. VFN Radio.
Nice.
Does it matter if you have an iPhone? Does it matter if you have a Droid? VFN Radio has an app for that. All you need to do is go to your app store and search VFN TV and hit download. And it's VFN Radio on the go. So no matter if you're at home, no matter if you're in the car, you're at the beach, you're at the park, you can stay plugged in, you can be encouraged, and you have so much access to so much more. Download the app now. VFN TV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We were talking about getting a more unfolding perspective. We're learning out loud and keeping the conversation light. And that's the Lord just reveals and unfolds things. That's how he does. You know, he doesn't tell us the whole thing. But, you know, in that particular panel that was taking place, it was pretty well stacked. It was in Boston. It was in the JFK Library. And even the narrator or the leader of the panel was going, this is a stacked panel, which is kind of a progressive panel. But this is prior to our current president's first term. And, of course, at that time, I believe it was Hillary Clinton and
Jonathan Edwards.
That were running, and they're talking about them. You can see this yesterday. You can watch the whole panel. It'll give you some perspective there, because when we heard the president's pastor, Jeremiah Wright, former pastor, talk about, y'all have to understand, because people appear we're trying to push the president for, you know, do something for us or something like that. And he was selected. He was selected before you elected him. And he was talking about having to first do these other things first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much, you know, something this large and running for it, there's a lot of different interests, and it's, I can imagine, you know, running for it.
Right.
But then Steve Bailey, you know, prophesies and shares a prophetic word about that the this current president, this was happening beforehand, the word came over, would regret where he led the nation, which is encouraging because... You know, you would think, like, really? Come on. This is right. It's like, you know, it just seems like a...
You got to be, you have to know what's going on here.
Yeah, right. And, but they see, it's like, oh my goodness, you have these people in the background that are selecting and just orchestrating and all. It's Zelensky. And, but then you think about, so that means then the person up front's really not the ones leading things.
Right.
I don't know, sort of like Ahab and Jennifer.
No, I think her name is
Joyce.
Wrong answer.
Okay, anyway, it's something like that. And so, even though that AI is supposed to be running, there's something else going on. It could be a board of directors. It could be a whole organized progressive movement. It could be, you know, interest groups or whatever, you know, pushing the agenda. And you're just up front, just trying to fulfill that particular agenda. And so, but you know, giving a light perspective of what God, you know. What's God's word saying about all this? Because it's our nation, you know, it's our responsibility to pray for those in authority and to bless them. And hearing the fact that he would regret where it was going is encouraging because it is wow. And, but then you think about when you think about, you know, being selected before being elected, when you hear, his pastor said, you think about, and they were talking about, but does he have the, and you heard nerve, right? And, I heard, does he have the character to be able to do this? And they're talking about to grab a hold of the horns of this nation and just shift it. I mean, fundamentally transform it. Does he have enough to be a fundamental? Does he have enough to be a transformational president?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were looking. But they're looking to select one. And in the context of that, they said, but does he have the nerve? Does he have the character to be able to do that? Well, yeah, it's amazing how the progressive concept of values and understand that, hey, you know, that First Amendment rights are very important. It lets us be able to worship God freely and to be able to gather freely and to go to the memorials freely and different things of that nature. But when you think about character, I mean, give the definition of character.
Character, the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual's nature of some person or thing.
So when you think about it, what they were saying was, does he have these attributes that's going to take to be able to be a transformational presidency? And it's like, oh, I think he's proven that he has the ability to be able to do that. But you look at the merger of this, which kind of gives us more perspective that that was not the ultimate goal of his, but it was others' goals that were going on, you know. And but then again, it's like, okay, if he got selected, then what are they? Are they using our nation? Are they using our government to fulfill this thing? Are they, you know, pressing on our president to push in a direction that maybe he would regret or wouldn't want to go in? But then it makes me remember what God said to you.
Yeah.
God spoke to you before, same time when they're probably talking about
this
meeting and Boston, by the way. And you're in Jersey there, and God speaks to you about him being selected.
Yeah.
And what did God say to you about that?
Actually, I was here in Florida when that happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was back in 2008 during the primaries.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Where, you know, neither party had selected their main candidate yet. So it was a wide open, you know, race. Mm-hmm. And it was Hillary that was running, as was Jonathan Edwards and now President Barack Obama, then Senator Barack Obama. And it was right after, we were talking about Jeremiah Wright, but it was right after Pastor Jeremiah Wright made those statements that just went, you know, downhill. At that particular point, you know, it was controversial statements that he made. I thought there's no way in my own mind that he was, you know, president, that Barack Obama then was going to become the president, that it was over, it was done. And everyone was watching closely this particular race, 2008. They knew how big this race was going to be. Mm-hmm. And obviously we've been abiding and praying, as many believers were during this time, that this is going to be the president of the United States. We want the right candidate. And I went, I had a dream that night. God spoke to me in a dream. And in the dream, I saw a few things. One of the things that I saw was the president making a homosexual covenant agenda with gays.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see now, the legislation, I mean, that wasn't even going on. Actually, it was with the church.
Mm-hmm.
But this has come in the forefront. That wasn't even on the agenda. You didn't even hear about it.
Right.
But we've made radical changes in regards to laws and different things that were going on at that time. The second thing I saw was the president, then the senator, standing in a room of a house, and I automatically knew in the dream that he had won the election. Now, mind you, no one, you know, we didn't know yet which way this thing was going to go, but not only did he win the primary, but he actually won the election. And his arms were folded. I remember distinctly his arm was folded, and it was the same image that I remembered seeing on the cover of a Time magazine that was published.
Mm-hmm.
And his arms were folded across each other, and he had won the presidency. And right behind them, I saw what appeared two white-haired men from Congress, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they were senators, but they were, you know, obviously in government. And they were patting him on the back as congratulations, you know. They were patting him. They were behind him. The very next scene, was a president dead with the marking of, you know, when they do a crime scene where they have the yellow chalk, if you will, around his body.
Mm-hmm.
I instantly just woke up shocked out of my dream. I mean, this was a dream. This was a dream, but I woke straight up.
And nobody in America knew that who was going to be the president.
Nobody knew.
Right.
And I just remember instinctively grabbing my wife's leg on the left of me and just saying, oh my goodness, it's a setup. It's a setup. And instantly I just felt like God was downloading to me, you know, connecting the dots, this and that. And he was young and inexperienced. A lot of things people were saying, that this is a young senator. I mean, there wasn't that much experience in leading. I mean, no one could really point to any particular job that he had besides being a state senator for a few years. What has he led? And, you know, my mindset wasn't on those things, but instantly God just started firing all those things, you know, to me. I got up at early in the morning, started writing all the stuff down. But what I couldn't shake from me, that this was a setup.
Right.
He's being set up.
Right.
And then, sure enough, not only did he win for the DNC to be their representative, and then he actually won the election.
Right.
But that's what happened.
And so when you see then that we're seeing things unfold, it was the people who wanted to have a transformational presidency,
sure,
who selected him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're wanting to transform our nation from the Constitution, from the Founding Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Original documents, all of a sudden 27 reasons for our Declaration of Independence turns into one, taxation mm-hmm. without representation.
Yeah.
And then and then bring in many gods instead of having one. I tell you, try to water down God, mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you saw was this big, huge stadium that was produced by more than likely progressives that had the big stadium receiving him when he won. And then you had
Mile High Stadium.
I don't think it was Mile High Stadium. I don't remember. It could have been. Was it Mile High
in Denver?
Was it Mile High Stadium?
This is in Denver. He received his.
Was it Mile High?
Mile High Stadium. That was it. He was a mile high.
Oh my goodness!
Up.
It was the high place.
But not only that, it was the columns, the whole thing.
But the whole thing was, it's like, okay, this needs to be the let's got to do this thing right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's transform this thing. The presidency. Let's transform the nation.
Yeah.
That's what's the transformational they talked about. And you can see this on the VFN Torch. You can watch it. And so we're in the words where it's going to be fundamentally transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And so then all of a sudden this whole thing's being staged, and how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Whoever the group or people or they believe in, it needs to be fundamentally changed, and who's selected. And so then you see the very beautiful, systematic answering to our history in regards to, that the fact that the president would ride the same train in from that Lincoln rode, and the wife's like, that's just perfect.
Yeah.
That's like perfect. Well thought out. When you're running a campaign, you don't have that time to think all this thing through. And then it's like, think about it. He rode the very president that signed the Emancipation Proclamation, that he rode that same train in from Illinois.
From Illinois.
And it's like, that's perfect, because here's our first African-American president. This is like, yeah. And then going all the way to Mississippi and having another part of what's going on at the university there, which was, history that was oppressive to the African-American in that particular city that they were in. I mean, everything was like, all these little parts were being touched and hit.
You went to Selma as well.
Yeah, went to Selma in the context of it. And it was just like, hey, this is like, perfect. These things are being answered, and this is that. And then swearing in on Lincoln's Bible, in the context of that. But then all of a sudden we started seeing the selection take place in regards to where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? Because even they saw him as a more middle of the road type.
A centrist, I think they call
him. Yes, centrist or something like that. But you get the exact wording when you listen to it on the VFN Torch, a panel. But it was like, but now, it's sort of like, especially he's first got to take care of how he's selected. But, and it's like, oh my goodness, when these things are unfolding, you're thinking, well, this is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think, like, that wasn't his original intent. It must not have been his original intent. But when people sit with you, it's like, if you want to be the president, this is some things that we would want you to do. We're deciding on who we're going to select. And it was neck and neck with Hillary and him. And I think she was even shocked.
Yeah.
That, but they're both Alinsky's, followers of Alinsky's teachings. And in the context of that, and I think her husband was more upset than he was. And
outburst in South Carolina.
But it just showed. But it just showed us, like, oh, well, we're thinking that the president's in charge. We're thinking that everybody in Israel's like, we're thinking that Ahab was one leading this country.
Right.
But God knew who was actually leading it. And it's like, okay, this we can understand now, that this is making sense spiritually. that you know, darkness covers the earth, that darkness covers mankind. This is just Lucifer tactics that, you know, somebody behind the scenes is not just pulling the purse strings, but pulling the national agenda, trying to transform it. But we got to say, and the answer is for those who love the Lord and are called according to the name of Jesus, is that we have to humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and begin to seek his face again. Mm-hmm. Get in his word, get in the light again, and begin to see what God reveals to us about what he wants to do and what it's looking like, what he wants to do, is going to do, is once we get in the light, we're going to speak the light, believe the light, and he's going to release his angels to fulfill the light of his word. And all of a sudden, what looked like it was a total disaster in the point where you're caught between Pharaoh's army and a Red Sea, that God's going to handle them both when we look up and seek him like Moses did. We'll talk more. We'll get right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You know, Steve, I was over the weekend, Father's Day weekend, in fact, you know, or should I say Sunday, I received this text of a video.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm minding my own business. You know, I like just to mind my own business and look after my own dogs. But why? Why did I receive a text message from someone on this radio program, not me or you right now?
Oh, okay.
That would be Pat, but I'm not mentioning any names.
Say the names, okay.
But he sent me this video of his two dogs. Okay, yeah. I gotta admit.
They'll love your dogs.
Hey, man, dogs are cool. Dogs are cool. You should get one.
Okay.
He sent me this video, right. And these dogs, I gotta admit, Chris, it's actually kind of cute. Mm-hmm. They're going back mm-hmm. and forth. Do we have that video? Do we? What were they doing? Talk to us here. I think he spent hours training them to do this.
They're playing with the ball.
They're playing with. They got this. How big is Holly? Holly is a
she
lad.
She is almost 80 pounds.
80 pounds. And how big is Samson?
I think he's maybe 8.
He may be 10 soaking wet.
Oxymoron here. Samson is a little, and Holly's huge.
Right.
But they're going back and forth, and.
But you notice Holly's on her back. Yeah. She's being gentle.
Very gentle. Samson's the more aggressive. But it's just so cute. You're just going back and forth playing with each other. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is so cute. How long do they do this?
Oh, this will go on for hours.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they do this all day.
Really?
Oh yeah, until Holly gets tired of him. Just like, swats him like a bug. Get away from me.
That is so cute. And he wanted me to watch the duration of this 30-minute video. I said,
fast. I only sent you about a minute of it.
It seemed like it was an eternity.
This one's about 3-minute version.
Oh, okay.
And well, I had to turn it off.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to put this available. We know that Pat has a lot of time. But we're going to put this available for you on the torch so you can see. But Holly and Samson, they're playing and getting on. But it's so cute when you see these two dogs are complete opposite, you know, size. And they're just playing so nicely. It's like, oh, my goodness, some adults can learn from this video. Play nicely.
Right.
They're playing nicely. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Holly and the dogs.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are trying to just get unfolding perspective, beginning to understand things. And so when we're talking about where, you know, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, the president's pastor at the time that he became president, said that he was selected before he's elected. You have to understand that he was trying to, I think he was, it seemed like he was just trying to say, you know, give him a break. I mean, he got here because people selected him. Now he has to do. But then we're finding out when we heard the panel, when God led us to the panel at JFK's library prior to that, and then God speaks about to you in the dream at the very same time, is that he was not only selected, but it's almost being set up to be able to, it's almost like he's being used as some of those styrofoam columns and those train rides and those symbolism.
Sure.
And it's like, it just breaks my heart to see the legitimate pain of people used for personal gain. People that had the struggle, that went through the horrific pain of oppression and abuse and neglect and just violating their civil rights, and then somebody used that for political gain.
Yeah.
And use that and just use folks. And it's like, oh, that's too personal to be used, you know, to, and it just, but it's just, I, you know, it's just kind of my heart how I see that. But it seems like a lot of people do, you know, try to do that. But so when in that panel, then you think about it, and I'm trying to give, we're trying to give a better perspective to get an aha moment in regards to that, when Steve Bailey was prophesied about that this president will regret, you know, where he led the country. Now we can look at that panel when they were deciding who they were going to select, that Cass Sunstein was on that panel, and he was very, you know, he was talking about in detail.
He had an opinion.
He had an opinion about how to do it. And so we were thinking that when he became president, that he selected Cass Sunstein, the information czar, the regulatory czar, but it's more like information czar.
Sure.
And which is the Goebbels type. We talk about the Goebbels methodology that Woodrow Wilson used about information getting, you know, Nudge, his book is Nudge. And so we're thinking, oh, well, he hired Cass Sunstein. He selected Cass Sunstein to be a part of his cabinet. And they're finding out, I'm thinking, I don't know this to be a fact. I just know what Cass said. I know what they were saying then and there, and we're seeing what God's saying about the, we're listening to God's perspective of this, that this wasn't his original intention. He's being set up.
Yeah.
And then hearing him saying, Cass Sunstein and the others on that panel say, we're looking for somebody that has a transformational president. And then hearing Pastor Jeremiah Wright say, you don't understand, he was selected before he was elected. And then seeing, oh my goodness, it's actually that possibly that the president did not select Cass Sunstein to be the information or regulatory czar. Cass Sunstein, the information czar, regulatory czar, data man, he's the one that selected the president.
Wow.
Him and the others that were with that mindset of what they feel the country needed to go. It's like, my goodness. And so we're finding out, wait a minute. And this should help us have, you know, I want you to know this. The second, you know, that we found out that God's revealing this to us, and this is years ago, this is prior, we have not stopped praying for our president and for the first lady. And we have documented prayers that we have prayed 4 years plus, protection, blessing over him and Michelle and his daughters, and against anything the adversary wanted to do to them. And for 24 hours every single Monday, prayer after prayer has gone up for our president. First of all, God tells you to pray for those in authority over you. Secondly, we know what the enemy was trying to do. We don't want to prevent that, you know, from anything happening. And every president's had, you know, I was born the same day, same hour that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Now, his brother was assassinated in 1968. Dr. King was assassinated in the same. And it's like this evil things happen, and we don't want that to happen. So we've been praying protection, that God would put protection around the president and keep him safe from what he revealed to us. And that the president, but the Lord revealed to us. And we don't know any details or anything. We just know what God has said. But when we're starting to see these things unfold, there's people behind the scenes that are have dark mindsets about what they want to do and where they want to see this country going. And one is to leave the founding principles of our founding fathers, that we are one nation under God, that all of our rights come from God, and that they see the Constitution as a list of negative rights, you know, and instead of positive, in other words, as if rights come from government. But when the rights come from God, the government doesn't need to write down what rights you have. But the second the government starts writing down what rights you have, they're saying that rights come from government.
Right. It means so, they can take them away.
Yeah, exactly. And so people say, that's right, I want some more stuff written down. It's like, no, there's God's, you're it's free already, in God. Already, yeah, it's called done. Freedom. Let's keep this thing free. And so they're wanting to fundamentally transform the aspect of that. We're seeing things unfold. So we begin to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk more about these 13 tactics. I think we're on the maybe the ninth tactic, maybe. Or,
I think the 11th.
The 11th tactic. That means we only have three more to go.
Yeah.
And when you hear the light perspective, you know what to do when you're seeing these tactics used. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, you can go to the VFN Torch and you can see the prayer that we pray. We pray over the president and we pray also as the Lord leads us. But know this, that even if you feel that people are adversarial towards you, God tells us to even pray for your enemies.
Yeah.
And so if you start moving in your own strength and you start doing things out of your own mind, out of pride, you're joining with darkness. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be successful. And God loves every human being on the face of the earth. He would that no man would die outside of him. And darkness is darkness. Just because it's not your form of darkness does not mean that you're in a different, it's a different type of destiny for you. Mm-hmm. And it's like outside of Jesus Christ, there's one destiny. As a matter of fact,
don't forget the nature of sin. You know, sin makes you go, you know, way further than you ever wanted to go, makes you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay, and it'll make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. So once you flirt with it, it'll take you down a long, slippery slope you never intended to go.
Right. And so just remember this. Remember that you know, outside of the light of God, we walk around in darkness.
Yeah.
And everybody. But when we get in the light as Jesus is in the light, and get in his word, we begin to see, because his word is a lamp unto our feet. It tells us where we are. It's a light unto our feet. And it also is a lamp unto our path. It shows us where we're going. It begins to give us vision and clarity. We cannot see outside of Jesus Christ, period. But we can see. That's why when they called prophets seers, they could see.
That's right.
You can see. You can see because of the light of God.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, well, how did you know that? I just see it. But you only see it because God is allowing you to see it through his light. And listen to what the Lord says. He says that he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh and will prophesy and see visions. In other words, light will begin to manifest on the face of the earth. But still, even so, the only way to God, the only way to eternal life, the only way to have forgiveness of sin, as Paul was saying to King Agrippa, was through making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You cannot be a child of the day and a child of the night. Because the second you left being a child of the day and become a child of the night, you've made a decision, I'm no longer a child of the day. But you know what? God has called us to bring you into the light.
Mm.
That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're giving you a light perspective. You can hear the word of God. As a matter of fact, hearing faith comes by hearing the word of God. And if you have family members and friends that you want to be able to be encouraged and kind of get a light perspective of what's going on, turn them on to VFN Radio. Turn them on to VFN TV. Just go to VFNTV.com. Download our app. It's a free app for Windows and Android and for Apple. You can watch us on VFN or WHBR Television, also at VFNTV.com. There's so many different ways to be able to get the light. You can like us on Facebook. Oh, my goodness. Get the podcast, which comes every day into your mobile device that you can hear or on your computer, ever how you want to get that. You can hear it at your own convenience. It is so important in these dark days to walk around truly as children of the day. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.